Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. There are many reasons to rejoice. I want to tell you just a few from this past week as the youth and I went to the Higher Things Conference in Nashville. I rejoiced when we got back home yesterday and I could finally get out of the car. We rejoiced when we finally got to the hotel Friday night after midnight. We rejoiced whenever someone had to eat a nasty Mike and Ike candy as we drove as part of a game that we play in the van. We rejoiced when we finally got to the dining hall our first evening on campus after following people who thought they knew where they were going, but in reality were wandering aimlessly through the labyrinth of walkways that make no earthly sense on the Vanderbilt campus. And we rejoiced when Rob got the nasty nectarine out of our car on Friday, after it had baked in the heat for 4 days in a hot, closed-up car and got all squishy, disgusting, and foul. If you don't quite get all those or understand all those references, ask one of the youth later. And that's all good. God wants you to rejoice. He doesn't want mopey Christians trudging around this world and life in bitterness, sadness, and fear. No, He would have us be joyful Christians living in confidence and faith. Confidence in His love and faith in His goodness. God wants you to rejoice. Joy is, in fact, the second gift of the Spirit. So what happens? Why don't we? Because sometimes we rejoice or look for joy or think we found joy in the wrong things. In sin. In having or getting what God has not given to us, but we've taken anyway. Or we rejoice at the right thing for the wrong reason. That's what the disciples did in the reading we heard today. They rejoiced that the demons were subject to them because of the authority Jesus had given to them when He sent them out ahead of Him, two by two, into every town and place where He Himself was about to go. Some of us now know what it kind of feels like to walk to every town and place after all the walking we did last week. But anyway, the disciples thought that was cool. They were powerful. They could boss demons around. Right thing, wrong reason. Jesus had given them authority, not so they would be powerful, but so that their neighbor would be set free. So their neighbor would rejoice with them. So their neighbor would have their name written in heaven too. Oh yeah, that too. No, that first and foremost. But that's what sin is, isn't it? We relegating what really matters to second-tier status and making what really doesn't matter first. Making higher things lower and lower things higher. taking a good gift from God, because everything is a good gift from God, and using it wrongly, rejoicing in it wrongly. And sadly, we do. Satan can't create, but he can pervert. And so he tempts us to do the same. To take the people that God has given us and use or abuse them for our own purposes. To take the good gift of sexuality God has given to a man and a woman united in holy marriage and instead pervert it in countless ways. To make money and possessions our gods, our idols. Using the gift of speech to tear down and not build up. To justify ourselves and make excuses instead of repenting. But there is no joy in any of that. Sin is like a drug that creates addicts who just want more and more. So there is no joy in justifying yourself or in making excuses. Try it. Well, I don't need to tell you that. You already have. So you do. And you get away with it. You avoid punishment. Happy? Not really. There's no joy in that. But repent. And then hear this. I forgive you. Not just getting away with it. Not just no condemnation. No guilty conscience. No self-loathing following you around. Just joy. The sin is gone. No skeletons in the closet that will later reappear. That's better. There is joy. And to use what God has given for the good of others, to set your neighbor free, that his name too may be written in heaven, is what Jesus has done for you. And it brought him great joy. When he forgave sinners, when he called and ate with tax collectors and sinners, when he rescued those trapped in sin, when he accepted the outcast. It wasn't just them rejoicing. He rejoiced too. For now, in him, their names were written in heaven. Now, sometimes that joy doesn't come right away. Sometimes there's some pain and suffering first. Parents know that. Kids know it too. The joy of graduation is preceded by many years of hard work. The joy of the dining hall is preceded by half an hour of aimless wandering. For Jesus, the joy of your names written in heaven meant first being accused of being demon-possessed. It meant rejection by the people he grew up with. It meant nails. It meant whipping. It meant crucifixion. And it meant death. But the joy that your name would be written in heaven made it worth every taunt, every mock, every stroke of the whip, every hammer upon nails penetrating through skin and flesh, and every moment in the cold, dark grave. The joy that you would be with him. And not just now, but forever. And when the joy does come now, sometimes that means sadness later. The sin that entices and promises joy may not be so good at all. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! Woe to you, Capernaum, Jesus says. You are rejoicing wrongly in what will not last and what is not good. Repent, Jesus says, before it is worse for you than Tyre and Sidon. Worse than Sodom. Strong words. Those are strong words that should make us sit up and take stock. That's why Jesus spoke them then and now. So the demons subject to you in my name, huh? I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven, Jesus tells the disciples. And maybe the disciples were thinking, oh man, we want to see that. But Jesus wasn't one-upping them. Or maybe he was. But if he was, then just for this reason, that they realize there's a better reason to rejoice. To rejoice that their names are written in heaven, where there are no demons that need subduing. And you, all of you, here's another reason to rejoice. Not just that your names are written in heaven, but that heaven's name is written on you. The name of the triune God, written upon you when you were baptized, marking you as His. And you know what happened when that happened? The demons fled, were subdued, and the angels rejoiced. Depart, unclean spirit, and make way for the Holy Spirit. Good news, great joy. The same joy the angels had when Jesus was born into this world is the same joy they have when you are born again into their world. But Satan doesn't give up. We are still lambs in the midst of wolves who want to devour your joy and give you sadness and regret. Look around. But the joy Jesus gives isn't just in the absence of the wolves, but even in the midst of them. For He is in the midst of them, with you. In His Word, His forgiveness freely and joyfully given. In His body, the bread of life. And in His blood to give us life. The joy of heaven come down to earth to take away all sorrow and sighing, all sadness and regret, and provide us with confidence and hope. Isaiah put it this way today. Rejoice with Jerusalem. That's you. You are the new Jerusalem, the church of God, His people, where He now dwells with His mercy and gifts. And to you He has given these gifts. You are the ones who have drunk deeply of His word and been refreshed by His food when times were good and especially when they were tough. That you have His joy. A joy far deeper than mere happiness. The joy of your Savior with you, and you not alone, ever. Always with His good, working for you, and working in you, and working through you. That joy to the world not be just a Christmas song. So we do not despair when the demons seem to be winning, and we do not rejoice when we seem to be either. For our joy is in Jesus only. Our victory in life is only in Him, but always in Him. Which means we rejoice when we finally get to the dining hall, for there is our daily bread. We rejoice when we get home because there are the people God has given us. We rejoice in nasty Mike and Ike candies because in them we are laughing together. And we even rejoice in the nasty nectarine because God gave us someone willing to actually pick it up and throw it away for us. And in all these ways, we are rejoicing that our names are written in heaven and we are forgiven. It is the joy of forgiveness, the joy of our fellowship together, the joy of our Lord's gifts, the joy of His life given to us. That's why Jesus sent out His disciples ahead of Him, to give that joy. The joy that Satan and his demons will never know, for they never have joy, ever. But it is yours forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.